Well, yesterday we brought you a story about how Pakistan is reforming its education system by allowing American-style charter schools to operate there. In Pakistan, charter schools offer an alternative to government-run schools, which are free but severely underfunded. Charters charge a small tuition, and for many families, that means children have to work in order to attend school, even for part of the day. Laura Eisensee from Here and Now contributor Houston Public Media traveled to Pakistan with the International Center for Journalists and has this report.
In the megacity of Karachi, dozens of kids fill a school courtyard for recess and a snack. Across the fence, trash overflows the waterway that snakes through the neighborhood. Here, the courtyard is dusty, but neat and clean. Boys play soccer and younger kids play tag. This is one of the few times that 13-year-old Aliyah Yassin gets to be a kid. She works as a live-in maid. The parents who employ her work at a bank. Aliyah takes care of their 7-year-old daughter and 5-year-old son. She describes her daily routine through a translator.
She helps them get ready for the school, and once everyone is gone, she does the dishes, she cleans the house and whatever is necessary, and then she comes here.
Aliyah attends the 4th grade at the Citizens Foundation, a nonprofit campus for disadvantaged students. She loves to study about Islam. When classes end around noon, it's back to work. She attends school for 4.5 hours a day.
She helps them with the lunch, with cleaning, sweeping the floor and everything, cleaning up the house. When the kids are studying, she rests for a little while, but before going to bed, she finishes her homework.
Aliyah sends all her earnings, about $100 US a month, to her family who lives hundreds of miles away. Child labor is technically illegal in Pakistan, but it's still very common. Economics, experts say, is the biggest cause behind the country's dysfunctional education system.
Because, end of the day, it's numbers.
Zeba Shafi is with Developments in Literacy. The nonprofit has offices in California, Pakistan, and other countries. It operates more than 100 schools in Pakistan. We're driving to one in Orangi, one of South Asia's largest slums.
What we try to do is give them the ability to get into a good career after school. But we have no say in, stopping them from working.
Shafi says families can't survive on the income of one person doing manual labor. So many students toil in cottage industries like stitching embroidery on bridal gowns. On campus, we meet 9th grader Rizwana Ruab. She spends about 7 hours a day after school making shoes. Her whole family does it. 5 sisters and 3 brothers. She once saw a Bollywood actress with fancy sandals.
And the design was so similar. The design was completely the same. So she thinks that it was made by them.
I ask how much she gets paid for her labor. Through a translator, she tells me that she gets paid 1 rupee for every 100 beads she stitches on a dress.
That's the rate. So like if they put in 1,000 beads, they get 10 rupees as payment.
10 rupees is worth about 10 cents. The amount surprises my translator because it's below the typical wages in Pakistan. Some groups pay children to learn so they don't drop out of school. Musharraf Zaidi says that's one way to fix the problem. He leads the advocacy group Alif Alon in Islamabad.
Those families should not have to send out 6- and 7- and 8-year-old kids to use bricks to build houses or to clean windows. There's an element of moral outrage in what I'm saying, which helps get me to work every day.
Zaidi says that it's also important that families believe that a diploma for their child brings real economic power to move ahead in life.
The choice that's being made is not just a choice about right now and eating this evening or today or this week. It's also a long-term choice that the alternative to that kid working is not worth not having that money to eat today.
Back in Orangi, 16-year-old Rizwana Ruab is already convinced about her choice.
She's saying that she's constantly thinking about, finishing her education and pursuing her dream career, become a police officer.
Even if it means studying extra after high school. For Here and Now, I'm Laura Eisensee.